inspired edition of the Holy Bible. If you want to open that to this morning to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Where did I go? And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. And saith, when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him on whom, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need liberty of the Holy Spirit. We need an unction, an anointing, a helping hand from the Holy Spirit to enable us to preach. And Lord, we need for Thee to brood upon this place and touch hearts, open minds and understanding, knock down barriers and defenses, that the Word of God might have free reign and free course to do that which You send it forth to do. I pray, O God, in Jesus' name, bless in the meeting this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Serial Christianity. Serial Christianity, S-E-R-I-A-L. Now, in case you don't know what serial means, I looked it up in the dictionary, which said, a series or succession of continuous parts at regular intervals. It means just one after the other. And Christianity is supposed to be a serial religion. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 said, Herein is the righteousness of Christ revealed from faith to faith. That is, I get saved, and then the righteousness of Christ dwelleth in me, and I go to somebody else and witness to them, and tell them what Jesus did for me. I mean, after all, Paul preaches five times in the New Testament, and three times he gave his personal testimony. Well, I tell you what, that thing will work. You just tell them what God did for you. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a Bible scholar, and hey, that's okay. You remember that passage over there in the latter part of the New Testament where Paul admonished him, he said, watch your chaste conversation that they might be won without the Word. I mean, your life makes a big impact. Amen. It speaks volumes. It'll open doors. And so Christianity is supposed to be from faith to faith. It's a serial operation. Now, we hear all kinds of things about serial killers and this, that, and the other. I'm not interested in that kind of serial. I like this serial thing where one person gets saved by God's amazing, marvelous, matchless grace, and that sinner that got saved goes out and tells somebody else, and they get saved. Amen? And then that sinner goes out and tells somebody else, and somebody else gets saved. And it's just a serial thing, just one after another. And I like that regular intervals thing. Amen? That's the way Christianity is supposed to be. Paul, talking to Timothy, said, talking about the faith that is in thee, which first dwells in thy grandmother and thy mother. Grandma got it, gave it to her little girl. Her little girl gave it to her little boy. Amen? That's a serial. See, that's just one after another. And that's the way Christianity ought to be. Boy, we ought to be out here trying to get folks saved, save folks, getting unsaved folks into the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. We need to be serial Christianity. That's how it's supposed to be. But the truth is, I don't see a lot of that. Now, there is some. There's some. But I have found, and my observation is, that we do in fact have serial Christianity. But it's C-E-R-E-A-L. Serial. You know, like Fruit Loops and cornflakes. We don't have serial Christianity where one person's leading another to Christ and it's revealed from faith to faith to faith to faith. What we have is our modern day Christianity is a whole lot more like the smorgasbord of cereals that there are on the market today. Now, I looked that thing up. If you go on the internet, you would be surprised how much information there is about cereal. And some of the names. We have, these are legitimate names. Now, I looked these up on the internet. We have Crispy Hexagons. Don't ask me what, I didn't pursue that any further. I just let it go right there. Then we had Dunkin' Donuts cereal. There's a cereal called Sir Grapefellow. Sir Grapefellow. There was one called Zoom. There's a cereal called Chocula. There's a cereal called Frankenberry. There's just all kind of crazy stuff out there. And so I didn't want to go with the wild and the extreme and the absurd and the unknown. So I confined my research to brand names and major entries into the market of cereal. And I found some amazing things about cereal that could apply to 21st century Christianity. And so I want to bring you a message this morning entitled Cereal Christianity. And the first cereal, and the forerunner of everything else, the foundational cereal, the preeminent cereal, is cornflakes. Cornflakes. Nothing fancy about it. Nothing mysterious about it. They just take a kernel of corn, soak it, smash it flat, let it get hard and brittle, and sell it to you to eat. You can dress it up any way you want to. But cornflakes is the foundational. It's the stable. It's the staid cereal of all cereals. And to me, that's kind of like the orthodox positions in Christianity. The orthodox Christians. Stable. Staid. Fixed. And boy, there's a lot to be said about that. That's good. Amen. I read a book one time years ago called The Glories of Orthodoxy. And I know you can get so staid in your orthodoxy that you like living in a tomb. I understand that. But at the same time, buddy, we need a certain amount of orthodoxy to keep us from being blown about by every wind of doctrine and being all over the map. Amen? And so I figure cornflakes, as far as we're concerned, is Southern Baptists. That's them. Amen? Listen, the Southern Baptists, whether you like them or not, were the mainstay of biblical Christianity in the South for 60 years. Amen? And they were the orthodox group. I said, well, shoot, if cornflakes is the orthodox Christianity, the Southern Baptists of the South, then what in the world is Frosted Flakes? I said, man, Frosted Flakes are cornflakes on steroids. That's Independent Baptists. I mean, if there's anybody hard-nosed, gun-barrel-straight, King James only, you know, ranting and raving, my foreign no more, we don't change, this is the way it's always been, this is the way it's always going to be, that's us, amen? The cream of the spiritual crop in 2011 has got to be the movement of the independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James only, Christ-exalting Baptist church. Amen. We let them Southern Baptists, I mean, they are sitting back there, staid and stymied in their orthodoxy. Boy, we took that to new heights. Amen. I mean, bless God, if you don't agree with us, you probably ain't even saved. Amen. I know if you ain't independent fundamental Baptist like we are, you might be saved, but you backslid. You know what I mean? You can't be right with God and not be like us. So we got cornflake Christianity, we got frosted flake Christianity. Then we got special K Christianity. Special K. Not just K Christianity, not just K cereal, it's special K. It's above and beyond. It's special. I mean, what more can you say about it? Special K. It's got things. It does things. It's better for you. This, that, and the other. It's special. I thought, now where in the world will that fit in modern day Christianity? And I thought, oh yeah, Lord, I got it. That's elitism, isn't it? That's all these folks that had an experience that nobody else has had. Got a doctrine nobody else has got. Had a vision nobody else has seen. Been to the gates of heaven and seen things not lawful to be uttered and come back down and run your mouth all day. Talking in tongues and all that stuff, you know. Or maybe anything that makes a Christian feel like they're cut above. We're not just mere mortal Christians. We're special K. You've seen them kind running around, hadn't you? Oh, yeah, you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. You saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Have you spoken in tongues? Well, not yet. Well, bro, we'll pray for you. You know. Have you been slain in the Spirit? No, I'm alive and well. Special K Christians. Got to be elite. Got to have something to make you feel like you're unique or different or cut above. I'm just happy to be a Christian if you just want to know the truth. That's a notch higher than I ever dreamed I'd get right there, buddy. Amen. You go ahead and be elite if you want to. I just thank God I'm saved by God's grace and I'm part of the family. I'm going to show up at the pearly gates one of these days. And then I'm looking at them cereals and I thought, boy, I know where this one fits. This is Wheaties. Breakfast of Champions. They don't put nobody's picture on that box unless they're way above everybody else. You got to be Tiger Woods or somebody, you know, you've got to be the preeminent person in your field, your sport, whatever it is, to get your picture on Wheaties. Because it's the breakfast of champions. Now, y'all know where that's going to fit, don't you? That's going to fit all them celebrity Christians we got running around these days. Amen. All them televangelists and all them big shot preachers that have high powered evangelists, you know. Yeah, we'll get Brother So-and-so to come down and conduct a meeting for us. Boy, that'll stir this town up. Bless God. That'll get our church right. Boy, we get old So-and-so. He's a big gun, you know. He's a gunslinger. He comes down and fixes things. Celebrity Christians. Big shot Christians. You know, you can always tell which one they are because they always got a little following. What do they call that? A groupie? Oh, yeah. Yeah, have you ever watched them groupies when they're with their champion? They come in. We've had them here, you know. And they come in and they're rude and crude and sultry and they don't take any care of your stuff. They got no respect for your property. They got no respect for your church. They just want to hang with their little group. They don't say amen. They don't shout. They don't weep. They don't cry. They don't come to the altar and pray until their guy, the champion, gets in the pulpit. And all of a sudden, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You ever see that? I've seen it. Why? Because they got their champion. They got their celebrity preacher. They got their celebrity Christian. People can't, they won't listen to anybody else. They don't appreciate nobody else's preaching. They don't appreciate anybody else's ministry. They're just following that one celebrity. You ever watch one of them golf games when Tiger's there? Let me show you where all the crowd's at. They're all following Tiger. Well, he ain't the only golfer out there. Matter of fact, he probably ain't even the best golfer out there. Amen? But I'll tell you where all the crowds are at. Oh, man, they're following Tiger. They're following Tiger. They think something special is going to happen. Well, he got no power nobody else has got. Neither does Blinky or none of that crowd. They ain't got a thing that you take any old preacher that'll get on his face and spend some time on his face before God and read that Bible and study and get up and let her go. He's got as much power and as good a message as any of them celebrities ever had. And then, when I was a boy, it was one of my favorite cereals. And I noticed that they've changed the name. That'll tell you something. They used to call them Sugar Pops. Now they call them Corn Pops. Because advertising sugar and using that word, that's a no. You can't sell all that sugar to all them youngins. So they call them Corn Pops. But it's Sugar Pops. Amen. They just take and blow that thing up and then coat it with a good layer of sugar and sell it. Amen. I thought, Lord, who in the world would you compare a sugar pop to? I said, well, that's easy. You know, that's not hard. There's Jimmy Swaggart. There's Blinky. There's a lot of them Pentecostal preachers, you know. Benny Hinn. So I think all them sugar pops are all them televangelists, you know. All puffed up on themselves. I watched Blinky, that was it last week or week before last? My wife and I were sitting there. We needed some entertainment. We turned Blinky on. And he's behind the podium. I hesitate to call it a pulpit because he don't preach. He uses some real watered down, lukewarm, milky psychology. And he is back there with his $1,500 suit on and his $400 haircut. A brother. Good to see you all tonight. I listened to that guy for 30 minutes and he didn't mention God once, but he never mentioned Jesus Christ at all. Now, he just don't talk about Jesus. I like to talk about Jesus. Amen? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's either Jesus or nothing. Amen? You'd think if a fella had 15, 20,000 people sitting out there, he'd talk about Jesus. But boy, these Pop-Tarts, these Sugar Pop guys, they don't talk about it. They say, why? They're afraid it will hurt their income. That's why. They got the damn private jets that Obama's trying to get back. They got to have $7,000 toilets in their bathroom. Got to have an airport behind their house. I'm not making it up. Read up on them guys. That's how they live. They live like kings. They live like kings. What are they? They're sugar pops. They're all sweet and syrupy. Yes, Jesus wants you to be prosperous. No, God never wants you to be sick. Oh, neighbor, just listen. Listen. Just give it all to Jesus and put a check in the plate. And God wants you to be healthy. Sugar pop. They just got a sugary message with no content and no purpose other than to suck your money right out your pocket. And then, everybody knows where this one will go. I run across this cereal called Fruit Loops. I said, boy, this is a big band of folks right here. I've been this thing about 38, going on 39 years, and I'm here to tell you, God is my witness. There's a Fruit Loop on every corner. I never heard such crazy stuff and wild and woolly stuff and unscriptural stuff. My wife's reading me an article yesterday. Some guy's got this article in the paper giving praise and honor and glory to some dead Catholic priest. Because this guy prayed to the priest, and the priest prayed to Jesus, and Jesus took this man's infirmities and healed him. And so this priest is getting all the honor and glory. I thought, wait a minute. Didn't that Bible say there's no mediator between God and man but the man Christ Jesus? Amen. What's that priest doing in there? Why, that interloper, that usurper? I mean, he's a phone, he's a fraud. If the Bible's right, that guy didn't have nothing to do with nothing. Amen? Amen. Huh. Just burns me up. Just, don't that just frost you? Amen. Just wears me out. All the nonsense going on these days. Fruit Loops. Every kind of crazy, wacko doctrine that you can possibly imagine. And the Baptists, you know, we're not exempt from that. For years, you know, in Baptist circles now, they've been doing this faith promise thing. It's as unscriptural, it's unchristian, it's wicked as hell. And I know why they do it, because, man, they get a lot of money. I thought, you know, some of them Baptist preachers ought to run for Congress. I mean, it's all about the money, honey. And they don't mind you running a deficit, as long as they get theirs. Amen. Amen. But they got all that faith prompt. Then this fella I know wrote a book to debunk faith promise. But he put in place, assistant's got another name, I can't remember the name of it now. I got the book at the house. And he's talking about how bad, how wicked faith promise is. But he's got a system to replace it. It does exactly the same thing, but his is scriptural. I read about 15 pages of that book. I threw the thing in the floor. I ain't wasting my time reading that tripping shitlin'. Amen? Say, why? He's a Fruit Loop. That's why. They've got a screwball, a nutcase, a Fruit Loop on every corner. And they're in Baptist churches everywhere you go. Man, I talk to Baptists all the time, and God is my witness. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff Baptists believe these days. And I'll tell you why. They quit reading their Bible a long time ago. That's why. If they read that book, they wouldn't believe that nonsense. Amen? You couldn't sell them all that junk if they read that book and had any understanding what that book was teaching. Now, we're coming to my favorite group, even though it is my least favorite cereal, and that's oatmeal. Oatmeal. What's wrong with oatmeal? Everything. It is without form and void of taste. It's absolutely tasteless. It's yucky. It's slimy. It'll take any shape you put in any container. It don't care. It'll just mold right to it. And all you do is just add the flavor of the day. Hey, man, you put a little brown sugar on it. Put a little screaming sugar on it. Put a little butter in it. Put some blueberries on it. There's some strawberries on it. There's some apples on it. There's some cinnamon on it. You just make it be whatever you want it to be. And it can be one thing. I mean, you can use cinnamon today and blueberries tomorrow and peaches the next day. Amen? I thought, boy, that is a picture of modern-day Christianity at large. Ungrounded, unfounded, unlearned, untutored, uneducated, ignorant of the Word of God, and they'll just take anything that's coming down the pike and run with it for a day or two, then they'll jump over and get something out of the air. They just like oatmeal. Interdenominationalism, non-denominationalism, that's oatmeal Christianity. How in that, can you see me, I mean, how many of y'all know me now? I mean, some of y'all know me 20 years or better. Can you see me in a non-denominational church? God have mercy on me or them one. It'd be like, remember that Jerry Clowers guy who used to be that Christian comedian? And he told that story about that bobcat got up on top of the tree and a fellow went up there to get it down. And they got in a fight up in there. And man, it was going back and forth and back and forth. And finally that fellow hollered down to Clowers and he said, Brother, he said, Just shoot up here amongst us. One of us has got to have some relief. I couldn't see me in a non-denominational, interdenominational nothing. I'm so opinionated. I got convictions about everything. I got preferences about everything. I bet I ain't got that much leeway in my whole body. And if I'd have got Brother Tommy to make the cut instead of me, it'd have been like this. Oatmeal. Don't know anything. Not convicted anything. That's the reason. I talked to a lady the other day. She was raised a Baptist. She married a Presbyterian. So she went to a Presbyterian church for about 30 years. Then Paw died. And guess what? She's going back home. You know what I thought? I thought, lady, you don't believe nothing, do you? You ain't got no convictions about nothing. Went to a Presbyterian church for 30 years. All them baby sprinklers and all that nonsense and all that predestinated and all that stuff and was perfectly happy. She ain't got no convictions about nothing. And there's Christians like that everywhere you go. They got my soul, man. I read that Bible. Every time I read it, I get worse. I don't get better. Every time I read it, I've been through it about 138 times now. And every time I read that thing, son, I'm here to tell you, I come away, I'm more opinionated. I'm more convinced. I'm more stuck in the mud than I ever was. There might have been a chance of changing my mind the first 50 or 60 times through that thing. But you don't stand a snowball chance in hell anymore. I'm here today, son. I'm a wreck. That Bible done messed up my head. Everybody will recognize this. Mini wheats. Frosted mini wheats. Frosted mini wheats. He said, what do you got against them? Well, a lot of things. For one thing, a frosted mini wheat is an offshoot of shredded wheat. Used to, you got a big old shredded wheat. And you put your sugar on it and your milk on it. You wait it 30 minutes for it to soften up a little bit. Because eating like dried straw, you know. And it wasn't selling too good, so you know what they did? They took that big old thing, they made four pieces out of it. Now you got mini wheats, and they put a little sugar coating on it to fool you. And they sell it as frosted mini wheats. Well, preacher, where is that going to fit? That's going to fit in the Baptist church and the Presbyterian church. It'll fit in almost any group. Because the frosted mini wheats, them little ones, that's the division. See, four of them, it takes four of them to make one big one. Amen. And what that is, what frosted mini wheats are the little sects within the denominations. Amen. Y'all understand there's 59 kind of Baptists? You know what a GARB is? Garb. General Association of Regular Baptists. Then you have Northern Baptists, Southern Baptists, Missionary Baptist, Independent Baptist, Hard Shell Baptist or Primitive Baptist, and on, Seventh-day Baptist. They got all kind of Baptists. And so within our denomination, we got all these little schisms. That's frosted mini wheats. And you notice that there ain't many of them. You know, you got a denomination, but if you break it apart into its set, maybe you got 1,000 people in the denomination. By the time you get through it to mini wheat, you got 25 in this little camp, and 50 in that little camp, and 100 over yonder in that corner. And they all Baptists, and they all hate each other. You a missionary Baptist? Well, we don't have no truck with a missionary Baptist. Does anybody know what a missionary Baptist believes? You know, they don't believe in the invisible church. They only believe in the church that you can see with your eyes. And they don't think the church is legitimate. They have illegitimate churches. An illegitimate church is any church that got started that wasn't a branch, a mission of a missionary Baptist church. Well, I'm not one of them. See, I'm not in that camp. My soul, man, we got way too many mini wheats out there. Now, here's a group y'all probably don't know, but I'm going to enlighten you. So this will be a learning experience this morning. I found a cereal. This is not a brand name, and I hated to use it, but it just was so apropos. There's a cereal out there called Commandos. Commandos. It's like Cheerios, but it's called Commandos. I thought, I know exactly where that bunch fits. So where do the Commandos fit? That's some churches that think they're supposed to be paramilitary organizations. They're springing up all over the South. I talked to a fellow not long ago. He's in one of those militias. And that thing, their recruiting ground is Baptist churches. Amen. And there's bunches and bunches of them. And you go to their church, and all the men stand around out there where they're smoking, and they say, you know, man, I bought me a new M16 last week. I got 29,000 rounds of ammunition. I tell you one thing right now, if I'm socialist, communist, come down my way, boy, it's going to be Katie Martin. Don't tell you that right now. And they go out on weekends and have their little marches, and they all got their camo suits and all that stuff. And they go and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound of saved a wretch like me on Sunday. They're the Lord's army. I don't think they read the whole Bible, you know. Jesus said something about if my time was now, then would my soldiers fight? Yeah. I got a house full of guns. I'm all for self-defense and defending myself and all that and this, that, and the other. But I'm not going to tangle that up in my church. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. We're not going to become a paramilitary organization with a bunch of commandos sitting around just waiting for some opportunity to go out and kill our fellow man. We ain't going to do that. It's the sincere desire of my heart that God lets me live till I'm 82 or 85 or someplace down through there where I'm worthless and useless. And then just have a heart attack and die, and I never have to look down my sights at anybody the longest day I live. That would be a plain, that'd be a real blessing to me. Now, I am prepared to defend myself and my family. Amen? But that's as far as I'm going. I'm not a commando Christian. Then there was this one last cereal, and I'll close with this one. There's a cereal out there called Total. And it says on the front of the box, 100% of the vitamins and minerals you need for a day. That cereal said, we got everything you need. You get a 4-ounce bowl or a 6-ounce bowl or whatever it is. Now, I tell you what, that ain't a bowl of cereal. That's a snack. You ask my wife, I got a bowl, it's a plastic bowl, it's been burnt, it's been melted on the stove, that thing's about this big around and about that deep, and it's got to be about 3/4 full. And it takes about a quart of milk to cover up the cereal. That's a bowl of cereal. 5 pounds of sugar. I don't even dip it in, I just take the sugar thing and just do it like this. And it's syrupy in the bottom, I love that, man. That's a bowl of cereal. That's why I'm like this all the time. You talking about a sugar high? Well, I mean, I can electrocute you. But he said, if you get a bowl of this stuff, it's got everything you need in it. I thought, I know where that one fits. That's in King James only, folks. Say, why is that? Because when I open that old King James Bible, it's got bread and meat and milk and potatoes and everything I need and wheat and all kind of grain and stuff. Everything I need to live for God and stay spiritually strong and healthy, I found inside the cupboard of that old King James Bible, buddy. That's a total. It's a total. It's total. Everything a Christian needs to get him through today. And you know what? You can come back in the morning and get you another bowl full. And tomorrow, after that, you can get you another bowl full. It's total. That little book will meet every need you've got. Answer every question you have. Whatever sorrow you experience. Now, the truth is, modern day 21st century Christianity has become pretty much cereal Christianity. It's just that it's the wrong kind of cereal. Ladies and gentlemen, what we really need is the John chapter 1
kind of cereal. Where some old sinner hears the gospel of Jesus Christ from the lips of some sinner saved by grace, and who with passion and compassion tells that sinner what God did for them, how He changed their life, and the joy and the peace and the assurance that He put down in their soul. And with all the power that's within him, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you tell some other sinner, and they hear your story, and God, the Holy Spirit, convicts them, and they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are born again, and their life changes for the glory of God. And they get up from there and go down the way, and they read a little and pray a little and learn a little, and the first thing you know, they got some old sinner sitting down somewhere, and they're telling them what Jesus did for them. Serial Christianity, from faith to faith. I get saved, I tell you. You get saved, you tell somebody else. That's real Christianity, and that's where we need to get. We don't need any serial killers or serial rapists or serial murderers or no. What we need is serial Christians that will share their faith with somebody else, pray for the power of God, and let the Holy Spirit birth a soul into the kingdom of God. Just bow our head. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy.